Thank you, Priya and Greta. That was a beautiful song. Thank you all for doing that. The congregational hymns. Wish you would turn with me this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah 55. We'll begin reading it at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I want to talk to you this morning about God's ways. I hope that the Lord will lead me to begin a series I've entitled Weighing the Ways. And what I mean by ways is that's how things are done. It's the works. Could be even habits. It's ways. How you carry yourself, how you go about doing things. And we hope, by God's grace, to deal with today God's ways and balancing that. And we see this as a most clear scripture that testifies that God's ways and ours are way different. And that's real important for us to grasp. I think most of us do struggle with that sometimes. But there's also some subjects that have been on my mind I'd like to try to ask God to help me preach, and that's weighing the ways of grace, or the ways of the gospel, or the ways of glory. But today, so I say that because there's a lot of verses that you can think of as I try to preach that I won't get to, but may come later on in one of the series that we are led into by the Holy Spirit. But right now, I pray that we would settle in on weighing the ways, God's ways. I think for the most part, and I believe in Christendom, the religious world, if you will, we have gotten away from the standpoint of understanding that God is different than we are. For some reason, and I know I'm inclined to this, you kind of put God in the box with you. I mean, you know, how God must feel. And then what's happened is we have a God now that is proclaimed that is a God of sentiment. He is a God of love. And the very fact that he is a God of love, that is sure. He says God is love. But he, more than that, and even more basic to understanding God, is knowing that God is a God of principle. God is holy. God is not human. He is not human. And we need to get to that. Now, he sent his son, Jesus Christ to take on human flesh for you and me. But that doesn't make God any less God, because he was still God. He took on flesh so he could get up on the cross and die for you and me and shed his blood to pay our sin debt. But what God is doing here, and it's kind of sad, I thought when I was reading this the other day, that God is saying, you know, your thoughts and mine are different. And what we need to do is get our lives, spiritual life, and you can only do this if you've been born of God. And if you hadn't, you get on your knees and you pray, God, born me again by your Spirit. And so you can only, and you see this and you grasp this, then we'll be able to get along in life a lot more. I mean, how many situations then we get in that we say, well, why is God doing this? Why is this happening? Now, first of all, we need to understand that God is into everything. I have tried to say, and others have, that we do serve a sovereign God. And when I say God's ways, I'm talking about everything is of God. I mean, you think about, well, what's President Trump going to do next? It's not a matter of what Trump does next, it's what God's doing. Because what God is doing is using people. See, it's what God's doing. You take your life, for example. Whatever's happened in your life. I mean, Sandra, you just lost a husband. But that's God's doing that. You don't understand it. I don't understand that. I got an email just the other day from down in South Georgia, a church I preached at recently, a Spring Hill church. There's a little 4-year-old boy in there that's got a brain tumor. And they just took him to Atlanta, and they don't know what to do. I mean, how in the world do you explain that? Well, why does God make this happen? I mean, if God is sovereign, then what kind of God would that be to do that? But yet, when we can grasp this, the very idea, and it is true fact that it's God's ways, and that God's ways are always the right way. Hosea talks about God in Hosea 14:9 that his ways are right. And even in the book of Hosea, we see what a calamity Hosea was called to do. To marry a prostitute. That's what the Hosea book is about. It's about a spiritual apostate Israel coming back to God and God loving them anyway. Now that is not our way. And so there's three things I want to try to say from this that jump out to me in words, and I'll try to elaborate a little bit on them. Number one is repentance. And now I don't know where you are with God, but I have a great intuition that it might be pretty close to where your repentance is. I mean, repentance, it's not necessarily just something you've done wrong, some sin you commit. It is lots of times, and more profoundly even, what we think of God. What we accuse God of that we wouldn't say out loud. But you see repentance here, don't you? It's there. And then also there's reverence. And then there's restoration. All of these are part of God's ways. Because whatever God's doing, and he's always doing something, he never sleeps or slumbers. God is not just standing up there, you know, wondering what these people are going to do next. No, God is at work. He is working in your life and mine. And the deal is, we are confused sometimes, and God knows we are. But that's why we have to have faith. I've told you this before, but years ago, There was Gene Denmark, Brother Gene Denmark. You remember Brother Gene, don't you? So he had open heart surgery. And that surgery got infected. And Brother Gene suffered a lot for, maybe a year or two after surgery. And one day I was down at Memorial, and they had the rehab area then at the hospital joint. So I go in the room to visit Brother Gene. And he is sitting up in his bed smiling, and he said, "Brother Randy, I've got to tell you something." And he reached over and pulled out a Gideon Bible that he had found about 2 o'clock in the morning the night before. And he said, "I want you to see what I saw, what God showed me." And he turned to this very chapter of Isaiah and he said, "You know, God's ways are not our ways." Now, I don't know how he got so much peace out of that, but that's what settles it. Do not ever try to figure God out and match him to your ways, because he is God. And so what we need to say is, "God, forgive me for ever thinking you to be a human." See, God is not your buddy. He is not. God is a God that loves you, a God that has called you, has quickened you. But I want you to know this and be reminded of it. I know you know it. Earthly life is short. Eternal life is forever. And this little span of time, we live on this earth, and we get so bent out of shape because things aren't working out our way, or because we can't do it my way, as the song says. God is preparing us for eternity. And in this life, things don't always shake out even. I've said before, God does not create everybody equal. He doesn't. I mean, there's people that just the pleasant places, so to speak, shake out in their life all the time. And there are people that struggle all their life. They are poor. And they'll always be poor, the scripture says. And yet we need to understand, I don't understand the ways of that, but that's God's ways. Because he is in control of it all. And that's important for us to see. But I thought about repentance in this regard. He does say in verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way." There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the scripture says, but the end thereof leads to destruction. We may see that verse later in another message. But repentance is so much here, says, "and the unrighteous man his thoughts." You see, there's thoughts we need to repent of. "And let him return unto the Lord." See, Christianity is a thinking religion. It is about where your mind. You want peace in your life? The scripture says, "He gives perfect peace to a mind that is stayed on him." In other words, where's your focus? See, we look at the ways and the ways of life, just like Peter, and we take our eyes off Christ. His is the way, the truth, and the life, Christ. So what about the difference? See, what I'm talking about and what God's talking about, it's not just a little bit different. It's way different. Way different between us and God. I mean, for some reason, we try to bring God back down on our level. It's not going to work. It's not. For example, in our thoughts. And I'm seeing this from the religious world. Multitude, millions of people believe that salvation is just an offer. That the Holy Spirit's quickening is not effective. It's just an offer. You can take or leave it. That's not how God sees it. There are people, we think, well, you know, merit matters. But God says, you know, you need a substitute. Well, we think that I'll just do the best I can. God says, no, you got to be perfect. Perfect. See, that's different than we think. See, we want to give everybody a trophy. God gives nobody a trophy. His Son died for us, so that we could put out a crown of righteousness at His very feet, because it's His own righteousness. Most part, the religious world will be afraid to say that God would dare invade upon the free will of man, because that would make us puppets. I'm here to say from God that there's no way we can have free will. God is in control. I read a part in Exodus where God tells Israel, He says, go up, take the men up 3 times a year and present before me. That left all the Canaanites vulnerable, or all the women vulnerable to the Canaanites. These are enemies that would have no thought of killing every one of the Israelites. Lots of people are still that way. But what does God say He does and did? He says, I will protect them. In other words, He controlled the will of those Canaanites. I'll tell you what, God's ways are different than ours. Way different. And we need to repent of that and thank Him for it. Secondly, I think of the reverence that we see and the difference in God. You know, God says, His Word says that we need to go to church every Sunday. But we say, well, I just kind of go every now and then. And when I go, I can kind of wear what I want to wear. And it don't really matter what the service is as long as people like it. See, our thoughts are different than God's about worship. And what we need to say is, what is this going to make me look good, or going to make God look good? See, the thing about being reverent, God says, far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. Do you know what that means? That means that God is holy. Because holy means separate. That is the crux or the main meaning of holy. Now, it doesn't include purity, but holy means separate. It means a rise above, a cut above, a significant other. God is holy. And that bothers us. It does. And unless God gives us the Holy Spirit, what happens? And even then, we are afraid of it. We can't live with it, but we can't live without it either. That's what the holiness of God, that's reverence. That's God's ways. Transcendent. That's how God is. He's over us. He brings Himself to us in that way and changes us. And we need to reverence Him and respect Him in that way. One attitude of that is found in 1 Corinthians. And I'll just share that just a minute with you. You don't really have to turn there. It says, In verse 27 of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught that things that are. And here's the reason, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Do we glory in God's presence? I mean, even in the church. I mean, I think sometimes I just flat or just fall on my face. I mean, who am I to tell God's people or anybody else how to live? I'm not nothing. But what the way God's ways, I don't understand the foolishness of preaching, but guys, God's ways. I mean, we sung the way of the cross. I don't understand that. Why would His Son die for us? But that's God's ways. And it's not the ways of people. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the man was born in a barren manger. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He preached from a borrowed boat. He had no house. He had no money. Now you find a king like that and what he's got. Our world says them best kings on how much money they got and how much military they got. God says, when you're weak, then are you strong. Jesus Christ, the King of kings, is all authority. His kingship. These earthly kings just pass away. Presidents are just here for a while and gone. But not God. His ways, we need to reference that in His holiness. That's all He is. And it's really, when you think about God's ways, it's a study of contrast. And I don't think we like that so much in our humanness. I mean, you think about this Bible. This Bible will keep you away from sin. Or either sin will keep you away from the Bible. Why? Because this is a holy, and God is the one that makes it holy. But you know what? We have the audacity to worship things that are not holy. It's called idolatry. You look at the average Sunday in the world today. For the most part, the people don't give a rip about God or reverence Him. But there are preachers that go around multiplying thousands of them that have a name tacked to their name, Reverend so-and-so. The Bible says holy and reverend is His name. Do not ever call me Reverend. You can call me Randy. You can call me Bud or something worse. Don't call me Reverend. Because God is Reverend, not some preacher. And we need to live our life in that mindset of reverence for God. Because God says, look, I'm not like you. I'm different. And that's how God is. He's holy. And every one of His attributes are soaked in that holiness. This holy love, holy faithfulness. And then I thought about not only bringing us to repentance. When I'm talking about God's ways and balancing that in our life, always keep in mind that's different than how we think. I mean, you know, one of the toughest lessons we have to deal with is forgiveness. Because we think God thinks like we do. Really, it'll kind of seep in. I mean, forgiveness is hard. And I can tell you one. I can try to preach you a sermon on forgiveness, and I can find plenty of scriptures. But I'm going to tell you what's hard to practice. And if you're honest with yourself, it is for you too. But for God, see, God forgives. See, God is forgiven forever, and our sins are cast behind His back, buried in the sea, made white as snow by the blood of Jesus. Many of you tote your own sins around, probably. You can't forgive yourself, can you? Lord, repent of that. Don't belittle Jesus Christ and what He's done for you on the cross. Serve Him. Because God's ways, again, is restoration. He said that briar field will come up in roses. I'm here to tell you that God's ways is to make something that's not seemingly so good really, really good. It didn't seem so good to find the body of Henry Clay laying here the other day or out there in the cemetery. But to know what God does with that He's with God and He's not suffering and He's with joy and no tears. He does make beauty out of ashes. That's God's ways. He can take a little bit and make a lot out of it. Jesus said that feeding the 5,000. He can take your life and whatever you're going through that might seem so unnecessary, and God will use that to bring you to a better realization of who He is and give you peace and joy like nothing else can do. See, because God, His ways, is reconciliation. By nature, we're not like that. Somebody slaps us in the face, we can slap them back. God says, let them have the other side. Somebody takes us to court to sue us, we're going to get everything we can from them. Jesus said to give them your coat too, everything. Don't ever try to talk yourself into believing that you can accept Jesus on your own. It's got to come from God. That's His ways. But that's how He reconciles us and restores us to His love and mercy and grace. David said something profoundly when he understood the ways of God and forgiveness in Psalm 51, verse 13. He had already said, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then he says, then I will teach sinners thy ways. You're talking about evangelism? We need to be involved in that understanding. Has God restored your soul? Has God given you joy and forgiveness? We need to express that in whatever venue the Lord will give us to others, to serve Him, and to rejoice and bear the fruits of the Spirit. If you got your Bibles open, Isaiah 57 has a verse there that fits here, and it's verse 15. It says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Now that's God. That's how God needs to be addressed. He is God, the high and lofty one. whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now you would think, well, if God really wanted to make us feel better, he'd just be like us. No, he says, I'm holy. I'm high. But you know, God sits high, but he looks low. He sees our sorrows. He sees our ways. He sees our hurts. And he says, I'm going to revive you. I'm going to restore you. And we see this from this very testament from Isaiah 55. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And I think that's what Brother Gene Denmark was alluding to in that hospital room. That didn't change the calamity that he was dealing with. The infection was still there. But the faith grew. See, the way of God is, God looks on the inside. Our ways is on the outside. So when we can settle understanding that, well, God, I don't understand what you're doing. But when the Holy Spirit allows us to be submissive enough, and as it's been said, you can be sure when you are down to nothing, God is up to something. He's up to something. He's bringing you up too. You just don't know it yet. But I guarantee you that God is a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. And even though his ways are far different, he has given us his only begotten Son again to take on humanity. Born a little lower than the angels, so that he could go through the obedience of never committing a sin ever and giving us that righteousness before God. See, if you really think about it, that's not our ways. We think we ought to pay. You know what God says in Ephesians 1? He says, I will present you blameless before me in love. Did you know you were blameless before a holy God through Christ? You are. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Doesn't make it not true. God's ways are not our ways. And in fact, we won't ever figure them all out, for Romans 11:33 says his ways are past finding out. But we ought to be settled and say, well, you know what? God is sovereign. This is happening. There's a reason for it. God has a purpose in it. And you can always be assured the oneness that God brings to us, his people, to bring us closer to him. Whether that's the trials you face, the problems. But what it ought to do, realizing God's ways are not ours and that his ways are right. If you have cancer or I have cancer, we need to be able to take it in an attitude of submissiveness to God. God, that's your ways. I don't understand why Clint Hall had a stroke or Lee Crumley. I don't. As good a man as I've ever known. I don't understand why some of the worst things happened to some of the best people I've ever known in my life. And some of the people that could care less about God or anything seem to have no problems. Now you go figure. But when we understand that God is involved in both of those, His ways are perfect. Just and right is He. He is the potter. We're the clay. And our lives would be a lot happier, a lot more dependent on Him where we ought to be, when we understand that you know what? That this may not work out like I thought it would. That this may be, you know, sometimes we think, well, this hasn't worked, so I got to change my plans. God never changes His. That's why sometimes we'll say, well, this is my plan B, and all the time it's God's plan A. You understand that? In other words, something happens in our life that we just trips us up and we have to regroup and do that. And all the time, that's what God has planned anyway. It's amazing. You know what? I don't know a whole lot about computers. But I've learned my iPad enough. Sometime I'll get to work on that thing and it'll get where things come up there and I can't get out of something. Something starts and can't stop it. You know what I have to do? I just have to cut it off. I mean, power it off. You got to reboot it. That's what you got to do with God when it comes to His way. Sometimes life hands you things just overwhelming. You can't deal with all of it. You just got to get off somewhere and understand this. You just cut everything out of your life but God and His ways. You can rest in that. That was a good song these girls sang. You can rest in His ways. May the Lord bless us and keep us close to Him. But let's not ever forget that our ways and God's just not the same. And we need to change our ways to match His. So that we want what God wants. Now it takes the Holy Spirit to do that because we far too human to not resist some of the cross work that God does in our lives. And don't ever forget that God is holy and that we need to reverence Him. Every song that you all come up with or that I try to preach every sermon, it better not be about Randy or about Mark or Sherry or anybody else. It needs to be God. See, this is God's church. It's a place that God makes holy, not people. And these things that we think we can't do without, these temporal things that you've made holy in your mind, God calls it idolatry. And we need to repent of that. And we can all get caught up in it. All of us. We have a wonderful God. You watch Him work in your life. You see His footprints and His fingerprints in some of the hard places that you have to go. But I guarantee you He'll be with you. I guarantee you that He'll give you strength to get through it. I guarantee you when you come out of it, you'll rejoice in your faith and bless Jesus Christ more than heaven. God will use your life as a witness. Right now He's doing it. I know He is. In your life, you think your heart is breaking and you'll never get out of this world alive, but you understand this, that God is using you for His glory. That's His way. That's His way. That's how God does things. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your perfect ways. Lord, forgive us for bringing You down on our level as far as our ways go. And thank Lord, You have to feel like we do. We thank You, Lord, that You have shown us Your holiness. Lord, help us reverence You in everything we do and say. Look, think, eat, live. Lord, make our marriages holy, make our church holy, our families. Lord, it has to come from you, set apart, transcendent. Lord, it changes things. We got lots of struggles, all of us. Problems are coming, we're going to have more. But we have a God that does not change. And a God that has a plan for it all. And it's just your way, Lord, of bringing your people through the fire sometime. But it has a purpose. And a worthy purpose. For it's how you have promised and brought forth the fact that you break up unholy people holy. Lord, bless this congregation. Bless those that have been called out for prayer. Lord, keep us in a mindset of praying. Lord, take the sins away. May we pray the prayer that David prayed. Lord, search our hearts and see if there be some unclean way. I imagine you're going to find it, Lord. But only you can take it away and help us adjust our lives to your ways. They don't have to make sense, Lord, any longer to us. What matters, Lord, is that you get the glory through all of this. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for this goodness of grace that you give us to come into your church, to sit together in heavenly places with people like this, and hear your word and songs. Thank you for the fellowship, Lord, you give us. Tighten our hold on you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.